Good morning, everybody. It's a great privilege for me to be with you guys this morning. I just want to give, first of all, Dion just a chance to testify. Dion's working in Iraq at the moment, and he's just going to tell us a little bit about what's happening. God is moving amazingly there where he's working. So thanks, Dion. Welcome, yeah.
Hi. Everybody's heard, my name is Dion. I just came from Iraq. I've been there about 2 years almost. And for those of you who want to know what I'm doing there, I'm working in PSD security. And it's a different world from what you know. I've been there in 2004 as well, in the middle of the war. So, don't know if you guys know today who is 21 and younger or older has been in war. Now, that's totally different. And people ask me now, you're a trained killer, so you must be a killer. I said, no. You are who you choose to be. If I'm a trained killer, it doesn't make me a killer. You are who you choose to be. And we have to believe as Christians that God needs, or we need, Christians everywhere, not just in our parliaments or in the churches. We need people to go out. The one thing people normally make is they say, Jesus, my God, is my personal thing. Well, that's not what God said. He didn't say, I'm your God. Yes, he did. But he said, go out to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been doing as well, after working hours, of course. And praise God. In the last 3 months, we almost baptized 100 people. So the Lord's been working spiritually in Baghdad, and especially in the base where I've come from, as well as, you know, we've seen wonders. We've prayed for people. We laid hands on people, and we've seen miracles happening. So, you know, like I just read again this morning, faith without deeds is dead. James 2, verse 20. And we have to believe that if you're in your comfort zone, there's not going to be any miracles happening there. This is the moment you step by faith. Outside of that comfort zone is where all the miracles happen. And I can testify, as Brom can testify with you, I've been to all the places you don't want to go. Trust me on that one. Being chased by African killer bees, being bitten by a 4.5-meter python is not fun. But in any case, you know, I've been through all those things, and I've seen many miracles happening, and I can testify in front of you that God is working through people. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. If you just not just believe, but believe is dead if you do not do anything about it. It's like first step of faith and walking in it, doing it, practical. Even if it's a small step, but the thing is, the Lord sees your heart. Doesn't matter if you can sing or not. Doesn't matter if you can preach to someone or not preach, to talk to someone. If you're a shaman, God has given you a talent of maybe playing guitar or doing something else. Maybe He's blessed you with finances. You know, it's not just one gift. And I also prayed for the Lord, you know, Lord, give me some friends that I can relate to, you know. Well, I come from people who's not really willing to talk about God. Now, all they talk about is three things, and we all know what that is. And, you know, I don't want to talk about those three things all the time, or not even about it. And so the Lord has blessed me with godly friends. And I've also prayed years ago. I also wanted to play in a band. Well, I'm never here, so I can't play in the band. And so God has blessed me. I'm the leader of the worship band in the base where I come from, in the chapel. And yeah, that's actually fun. And I've also wanted to lead a cell group. And the first time I had this opportunity, there was 30 people. I said, "Oh Lord, you're not funny." 30 people is my first time, you know. Said, and it went well. God was blessing me in such a way that it moved people. But it took me to get from that faith to the action part, you know. And to walk in faith means you have to do something. So, and I did. And the message got to people, and you know, we saw a lot of people change their hearts. And God said, you know, He judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. And Solomon really knew it when he said, "Guard your heart, for it's a wellspring of life." So in all that, you know, I just want to give God the glory, and God the praises for what He's done in Iraq. There's also, unfortunately, there's also negative things happening in Iraq. There's 32 Christians being killed just about 2 weeks ago. Two pastors have been shot in the head as well. And we get offended when somebody just looks bad at us or say something bad against us. But those people are dying for their faith. So we really need to work on ourselves. The world is trying to change you from the outside in, where God says you have to change from the inside out. So that's a message for someone. I, I will be happy if someone can take that with them. And long story short is, yeah, I just want to give God the praise for what He's done in Iraq.
Thanks, Dion. Thanks a lot. Let's give Dion a hand. Tiska, do you want to come share a testimony? If anyone else has got a quick testimony to share, you've got 1 or 2 minutes.
Okay, hello everyone. Even me standing here is a miracle because I normally don't do this. But I just want to say that a while ago, Philip sent out an email for all of the people in the small group that we must ask them what are they trusting God for and pray about it. And it's also during that same time, I think it was Relationship Week, and Heinrich said we must both have lady friends and guy friends. And I had a lot of girlfriends, but not guy friends. I'm not so, well with that. And I prayed for more guy friends. And I just want to glorify God because He really, in church context, gave a lot of opportunities for me to make new guy friends. And it just shows me that He is concerned about every detail part of our lives. And with that, I also want to say to the men in Shofar that as your sister, you really make me feel like a princess and as a lady. And like that verse that says, you treat us with absolute purity. And I think for the rest of the girls who will agree with that. And I want to say that you are really mighty men. You are worthy to be called mighty men and to lead. Okay. Thanks.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks, sister. Amen. God is good. Amen. It's great to be with you guys this morning. What an amazing week it's been. Who was involved in Community Week? Just let's see a show of hands again. I just want to really say thank you to everyone who was involved. It was an unbelievable week. We made such a difference here at the school. We made a difference at the police station. We made a difference at what's called Extreme Freedom, a place where drug addicts go. And we ministered to them. Sean entertained people and inspired people with his testimony for an hour. He got the people laughing, almost rolling on the floor with his testimony about how he's come out of drugs. And people were really inspired there on Thursday evening. We, Auntie baked some muffins and we had tea with the staff here on Thursday morning. And the people were just blown away at God's goodness. And yesterday when we finished here, thanks to the guys who worked hard in the sun yesterday, we made a big difference here at the school. And the headmaster was just blown away. Just kept saying, I'm so indebted to you guys and I just owe you so much. I said, you don't owe us anything. We were so blessed to be able to give. We were so blessed to be able to serve. And I know the police station as well, the commandant or what the colonel, whatever the leader is there, he was just also so, amazed at the fact that we come to serve this community. So I just really want to thank you guys. It was just such a blessing to be able to go out and take church to where the people are. So I really want to encourage us. I believe next year we're going to have more such, even if it's just a Saturday or whatever, we're going to go out and really make a difference because people's hearts are so open and people really want to receive the gospel when we bless them with acts of service. So I want to thank you guys and just thank you also for an amazing year. I can't believe that I've been here for 1 year. It was exactly a year ago that Esther and I landed in here, suck and fuck and everything from Stellenbosch. Unsure about what God was going to do. Some people are excited. And just, it's just been unbelievable just serving with you guys. And I just really so love you guys. Both of us, Esther and I, just love you guys so much. It's amazing to be in this church. God knew that we had to be here. It's just been an incredible year, and I want to thank you guys for all your volunteering, for all your passion, the faith that you bring to Sunday services, to small groups, to Bible school, to foundations, wherever in the program of the church. God is really moving, and He's gonna bring in a mighty harvest next year again. I want to speak it. I spoke it last year, and we didn't see lots of people getting saved this year, but I really believe that there's a season for God just to establish us, and He's really going to bring in many people next year. He's going to test our hearts with weird people in our eyes, maybe, but we're going to have to be open to them and love them just as we've done this week. But I just want to thank you guys. It's been an incredible year. It's just been, the best year of my life so far, and I trust next year will even be better as we move from glory to glory. Amen. So this word this morning that I just want to bring, I believe God wants to speak to us about a few priorities in our lives. And when it talks about kingdom priorities, people maybe think, okay, but God is first, and then there's the family, and then there's maybe, the believers, and then there's work and church and work, whatever order you want to put it in. But that's not what I want to speak to us about this morning. I want to speak to us about a few priorities that I believe we need to just put in place and just make sure that we do prioritize each of these four areas in our lives. But let's just first read from Matthew 6, from verse 25, because many of us can relate to this because worry is often a part of our lives. So let's just read together. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Remember, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Thank you that we can just come and, Lord, receive from you this morning. Thank you that your word is so awesome in our lives, God, and we need your word. We thank you that you want to speak to us, each and every one of us this morning, individually, Lord, and as a church, Lord, about just seeking first your kingdom, God. Thank you that you have come to die for us, that we can be free in every area of our lives, God. And I just lay aside my own desires this morning, my own abilities, God, and I just ask you to speak through me this morning, God. And I thank you that you're faithful to speak despite us, Lord, but you choose to use us as mere fallen human beings, God. And I want to thank you for the privilege this morning of being able to minister your word, Lord. And I count it as such a privilege. And I thank you that you're going to speak to each and every one of us this morning, Lord. So we open our hearts, God, and we just say we need you, Lord. In Jesus' name. So, I believe that many of us sometimes, and I'm preaching to myself here as well, is we worry about unnecessary things. We worry about things that are really not important. And this is what I believe God wants to say to us this morning, is that there are four areas of our lives where I believe if we can prioritize these according to God's will in our lives, then worry will be such a little part of our lives. Because we'll be free in these areas. And the four areas are as follows. First of all, our thought life. Secondly, our prayer life. Thirdly, our finances. And fourthly, just our serving in the kingdom of God. So let's take a look at each of these four areas. And the first one is our thought life. I really want us to focus here on what God wants to say. Because, you know, the mind is so powerful. The mind is an amazing thing. The mind has created a lot of things that we see in the world today. Technology, all these amazing things that we see, material stuff in the world. The mind has created these. The mind of man is amazing, and God has blessed us with an amazing mind. But what happens sometimes in our minds is that we allow the things of this world to be too much of a focus. In Romans 12 verse 2, the word says, Paul writes and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The contemporary English version says, let God change the way you think. And I believe that sometimes our minds, our thinking is not a priority when it comes to the kingdom. We allow other thoughts, we allow everything else to come into our lives except really focusing and disciplining our minds to think about the kingdom. And yeah, God says, or the word of God says, do not be conformed. Because you see, if we start to worry about the food and the clothing and all these things that we have to sort of survive with every day, if we make that a focus of our lives, then worry and fear start to take over. And we just focus on the world, we start to focus on the things of this world and not on eternity. And yeah, in Colossians 3 verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So I want to ask you, and JP from Joburg preached an amazing sermon about our thoughts, and I want to ask you again, like he did, how much do you think about eternity? How much do you think about things above this world? Or do you just survive through this everyday life that we have to sort of get in the rat race and survive? Or do you put aside time to think about eternity? Think about where we're going truly in the kingdom. You see, I believe that we'll only discover true fulfillment when we truly renew our minds and we think about things of the kingdom. We think about things in line with God's word. Now, if you look back at that scripture, if you can just go back to Matthew 6 there, the first scripture, John. If you look at, right there at the beginning, Matthew 6. If we look at the food and the clothing, I just want to clarify something here that God showed me. When God talks here about food, I believe he's talking obviously also about actual natural food that we eat. But I believe it represents an inner fulfillment, an inner nourishment that we all need. And God knows we need that. And then the clothing, I believe, represents sort of an outward success. Almost if you're well clothed and you sort of drive the nice car and you've got the nice house, it's sort of your outward appearance and your success. And all of us as people want these things. We want this inner fulfillment in our lives. God has placed it in there. And He's also placed a, sort of an outward success in our lives that we want to show that we've worked hard, we've done something, we've achieved something. But God wants us not to focus on these things. He doesn't want us to focus on trying to sort of have this inner fulfillment by the things of the world, trying to sort of wear the nicest clothing or drive the nicest car, trying to focus on an outward success that all of us truly are after. And God has placed that in our lives. So I believe that He wants us to be like the birds. If you look at there further on, it says, look at the birds of the air. If you go back to the first one, John, verse 25. If you look at the birds of the air, the birds are free. If you think about birds, birds are amazingly free. They don't have any worries. They don't even try to sow or reap or gather stuff into barns. They just live freely every day. And they trust in God. That's, animals don't have to believe. They just live like that. But God says that we must be like these birds, free, completely free to be able to just serve Him and love Him. But sometimes these things of the world, the cares and the fulfillment that we want, which is a godly thing, becomes so important to us that we then forget about just living for the kingdom. And start living for ourselves and our own fulfillment and our own outward success. So when God says here that we must renew our thinking, if we go back to Colossians 3 verse 2, think of the things above. Meditate on these things. Take some time out to think, where are we going in our lives? Oh, well, how do we fit into the kingdom? Think of what has God blessed you with. But renew your thoughts and start to think like He thinks. And I've got this friend of mine. He's a bit crazy. He's totally different to the normal person because he's totally free financially. He doesn't have to work, actually, although he works very hard. He's got his own business that's generating an income for him. But he says to me, he takes time out almost every day to sit for an hour or two every day, once he's done his quiet time and all his other things, to think, just to think. He sits in a coffee shop sometimes in a mall and just looks at the world from a different perspective, with a book or whatever he does. And he just thinks. He improves his mind. He's got such a passion to improve things in his life and maybe in others' lives. But he's really got a passion to think and to just allow God to clarify his thoughts and to focus his thoughts on what his purpose is. Now, he's a very focused guy, and he believes his purpose is just to give a lot into the kingdom financially. But he's got a totally different calling than a lot of people. But the fact is, all of us sometimes get caught up in this rat race of work and life and everything, and we don't take time out just to renew our thoughts and to start thinking. Just how God thinks. Start to be on the same thought pattern that God is on. Because sometimes we allow the world just to steal all of our thoughts and we get consumed by everyday life. And God wants us to start to think and take time out and just to say, Lord, what are you saying? Where are my thoughts consuming me? And Esther and I have decided we're going to put our DSTV off because I just love sport and there's just so much sport. There's 7 channels full of sport on DSTV, and it's been consuming my time, and God's been convicting me and saying, you spend time, instead of talking to your wife and just spending fellowship, you're sitting in front of the TV because there's always something on. As soon as the World Cup finishes, there's the Tour de France. As soon as that finishes, there's Wimbledon and all that. There's forever sport on TV throughout the year. You can be consumed as be a couch potato watching sport your whole life. And I just realized God started speaking to me and saying, this has become an idol in your life, sport and it's consuming your time. When you finish with the office and your duties during the day, you come and you haven't got anything on, then you sit in front of the TV. And it's really become a thing that God has said, I want you to stop. And we just decided to switch off the DSTV. And it's so awesome. She's been in Cape Town this week and she's staying with her sister-in-law. My sister-in-law. And they don't have a TV. And she said, it's just been amazing this week, being able to read books, just not watching TV. And what I'm trying to say is sometimes TV consumes our thoughts. Sometimes some of us, maybe you ladies, reading books that are consuming your thoughts with things that God does not want you to think about. And your thought life is being determined by the outside, is being influenced by the world and the systems of the world. And God wants us to renew these thoughts. Because in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given us self-discipline. He's given us the ability to self-control our mind, to have control over our thoughts and our mind. And you see, God wants us truly to come into discipline here and to really cut off those things that are not of Him. But what I actually want to focus on this morning when it comes to our thinking is there's one guide, there's one true compass that will help us to order our thoughts, and that is the Word of God. And that's why this first part of my sermon this morning is really focused not necessarily on our thoughts, but actually on the Word. Does the Word wash you? Do you allow the Word of God to wash your life? And instead of putting in other stuff from the outside, whether it's, and I'm not saying other books and TV is bad. I'm just saying if that's consuming your time, and you're not getting to quiet time, you're not getting to reading the Word, then your thinking is going to be determined not by the Word of God, but by things from the outside. Listen to this. For the Word of God, and I'm giving you guys lots of scriptures this morning, but I'm trusting the Lord that the Word will just wash us this morning, just as we're preaching about the Word. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And listen to this. Is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The thoughts, our thoughts, it discerns. The Word of God brings our thoughts into line. But we have to choose to spend time with this Word. We have to choose to fellowship and to allow God to renew our thinking, to allow God to transform our thinking. So continual meditation on the Word and on the things of God will order our thought life and will allow us to come into line with His Word. So I want to challenge us and encourage us this holiday. We're all going away now to different places. Maybe some of us are staying here. But you might be seeing family. You might be just going on your own. But don't allow, now especially in this time, don't allow just this holiday mode that a lot of us get into. And we just want to chill, and even chill from God. God says, allow His Word. Allow my Word, says the Lord, to each of us to wash us this holiday, to wash us this December time, that we can be excited for next year. We can be refreshed. And our minds can be in line with what He wants us to think. Instead of allowing worry and fear about the things of this world, and especially now in the season of Christmas where it's just such a consumerism where you have to buy presents. And okay, it's nice to give to people, but you know, we're actually supporting just the worldly system by buying so much stuff and supporting the whole consumerism mentality. But don't allow these things to consume you in this time. And really, that's why I believe God allowed me to preach this Word now, sort of at the end of the year. Many of you won't be here next Sunday. You already have gone away. But just allow the Word of God. I would encourage you to consume your thinking in this holiday time. You see, it's time for us to discipline our minds for kingdom thinking. It's time to discipline and allow our thoughts to say, Lord, what are you wanting to do next year even? Start thinking about next year, thinking about where you can make a difference. Instead of saying, Lord, it's just about me and what do I need and what are my basic needs? Because then fear and worry will start to come in and we're not seeking first the kingdom. Is anyone hearing me this morning? Are you guys excited? Second one. Matthew 16:19. This is now talking about our partnership and our quiet, not only our quiet times, but just our everyday walk with the Lord. I want to make that clear this morning because I believe sometimes we just limit our quiet times and our prayer times to the time we sort of put out in the morning or the evening. But God wants us to have a passionate partnership with Him every single moment of the day. And He says here to Peter, he's talking to Peter, and Peter has just told him that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but the Father in heaven revealed that to you. And then he says, and I will give you, and he's speaking to Peter and obviously speaking to us in the church as well. He says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God wants us to have a passionate partnership with Him. And a prayer life where we don't just limit our prayer life to a Sunday in church or small groups, but where we have a living relationship where we can just speak to God every day of our lives. And He's given us this authority. You see, the more quality time we spend with God, the better we know His heart for us. And it's not about faith, it's really knowing God's heart. It's not just about believing. It's knowing, is God a good God? Yes, He's such a good God. Does He want to bless me? Yes, He wants to bless me so much. Know that heart. The only way you're going to know that is spend time with Him and fellowship with Him, commune with Him. See, He has given us authority to establish things in the Spirit, but it only comes from a place where we can really know the heart of God for our lives. And He says here in Matthew 21 again, He says, Jesus answered and said to the disciples, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree. And this is when Jesus cursed the fig tree and the disciples were so amazed. He said, you will also say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and it will be done. Then he says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Believing, you will receive in prayer. If you just speak to me, and you really come to me in faith, and you say, God, I believe in this thing. And even if you're praying for yourself, just whatever you do, pray then. Just fellowship with God. But believe when you pray. Don't just, and that means actually the words here inherently saying that we can actually pray and not have faith. We can actually pray and just do it because it's a ritual or the thing to do. But God says, when you pray, believe, and you'll receive that thing, even if you're praying for yourself. But what I want to challenge you is pray for others and see them receiving great things. But even if you just pray for yourself, pray believing and practice as we believe God. But it comes from a partnership. It comes from knowing His heart, spending time with Him. It's a priority that we need to look at. And our auntie went with us last week with Esther and myself. We drove down to visit my parents, and then we went to Heinrich and Nikki's vows. They renewed their vows last Saturday, and then I flew back on Sunday. So it's been a bit of a hectic back and forth. But anyway, driving down last Thursday, we spent the night on our farm in the Karoo, and my mom said to me on Monday, she said, please, we're desperate for rain. It's just so dry here. It's really looking bad. And I just said to mom, the rain is coming. And I believe that God is going to use us to bless them. As we go there, we're going to just bring the rain in the name of Jesus. We're going to bless the farm with rain, just in the fact that we're going. And it sounds maybe arrogant, but I just believed. I said to mom, the rain is coming. Just you wait and see. And that day, we stopped there with Johan and Estelle Appelgren in Middelburg, and we had lunch with them. And then we saw the clouds starting to build up, and I just was so excited. And Auntie and Esther and myself, we just prayed there when we left Middelburg. We just said, God, thank you for the rain on this farm. Thank you that you're going to rain. I tell you, we got there just before the pass, just, you know, over the Lourdesburg Pass on the N9, just before our farm, and it just started raining like that other day coming back from Standerton after the launch. That rain then, Mpumalanga, that same rain was just raining on our, I mean, I could hardly see in front of me. God just sent the rain amazingly. And then I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, please, let it just rain through the night, or just let it not just be one downpour. Let it be just, you know, just that your blessing is just continuous. And it was so amazing. Now, at that time, you know, the Karoo, that time of the year, it doesn't rain soft. It's like, yeah, there's downpours, thunder showers. It's crazy. It doesn't rain soft, soaking rain that time of the year. And after the downpour finished, it was like the rain just, and now my brother's saying, oh, it's only 8 millimeters, or it's only 6, or whatever. I just said, Lord, just come and show them how good you are. And it just carried on. Then it would sort of rain again, and then it would stop a little bit. Then it would just carry on raining. And basically, it rained probably till 2, 3 o'clock that morning. And then they woke up and they said, it's like 35 millimeters. They were just so stoked that God's good, or, you know, just stoked that it had rained. And I just said, Lord, thank you that you're so faithful. You see, when we passionately partner with Him, we can ask things and we can say, Lord, open the heavens where there's a need. Open the heavens and just pour your blessing down. Show people how good you are, because that's what God wants. It's not about us praying and our faith and everything. It's about God's love for the people that He wants to bless. And it's amazing. My family was so... But what really touched my life, and we had some good chats on the car, Auntie and I and Hester. But my brother that night, we had supper together. My mom and dad were there. And now my brother, he's been walking a path with the Lord, but I didn't think he's like sort of saved. I know God's working with him and so on. And he always used to pray like, you know, the normal prayer that you used to pray, like, you know, Lord, or what's it for what we're about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. You know, not really praying to God, but some God out there, make us truly thankful for this food, amen. That's what he would always pray. And I was thinking, and then I was getting ready to pray now, because normally they ask me at the table, when we have sitting down at a meal, they'll say, Alistair, why don't you pray for it? But my brother and I, the head of the home, we all took hands like this, and I could just sense on authority. Just took hands, and he said, Father God, thank you for this rain. Thank you for that we can be here together. And I was just like, almost like just in tears. I just had to like keep my tears back, because I was thinking about, when they say amen, and I'm like crying, they think, but your food's there, you know. That you, don't worry, you're going to have food, you know, don't. But I was just so touched by the fact that my brother comes here and just takes hands and says, Father God, thank you. And then I just knew he's saved. Someone saying Father God in that way, you just know that he's been born again. Somewhere in this year, it must have happened. But we have been praying. I've been praying for my brother for many years, and I've been praying for my family. And it was just amazing to see God's blessing of years of just sowing into their lives in prayer and just blessing them and serving them. And God saving my brother. Whenever he did it, doesn't matter. The fact is, he's going to heaven if he has to die. And he believes in God. He believes in the God of the rain, the God of provision. And he could thank him for it. See, that's the amazing thing of being in a partnership, being in a passionate partnership with the Lord. Wherever we go, we start to just pray and say, Lord, let your kingdom come here where we go. Where you drive, if you're going to a new place, you're going to a meeting somewhere, just say, Lord, in this business meeting or this meeting with whatever, just say, Lord, let your kingdom come. And I remember many years ago, I started realizing this. Whenever I just went to a cell group meeting, whenever I got in my car, and it was rushing, you know, a lot of stuff in the ministry, busy. But I just realized, just take that time and say, Lord, thank you for this meeting I'm going to. Thank you for wherever I'm going to. Let your kingdom come. Use me to speak to someone. Use me just to smile at someone. But Lord, it's not about me. It's about you and your passionate love for the people that I'm going to meet here. And then we start to live a life of faith. We start to live, as Dion said, a life where we don't know what's going to happen. But we know God is love, and He wants to love the people that we're meeting. So instead of worrying, the message here says, well, let's read Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. See, again, that anxious thing comes in there. Are we worrying about what we eat or drink or what we're going to wear? Or are we saying, Lord, you know I need these things. I'm not going to be anxious for anything. I'm going to just come to you and say, Lord, provide, because maybe there's a physical legitimate need that you have. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't focus on trying to fulfill that need yourself. Just say, God, by prayer, and I'm coming to you and I'm saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. These are my requests, and thank you by faith that I'm going to receive this. And then the peace will just come. The message says nicely, instead of worrying, pray. The Message Bible there at the end of verse 7. Instead of worrying, just pray. So prayer is simply what I want to encourage you guys with here this morning. Prayer is just simply communicating with God. It's not a thing like we have to go all holy now and then pray in tongues and then just have a living relationship with God, like with your wife or with your friend, your husband. Just have a living communicating relationship. That's what God wants us. Because you see, the religious mind says that no, we must bow before the altar and then we must do hallelujahs and then we must do this and that and then maybe we'll enter the presence of God. God says no. It's a living, passionate relationship. Share your thoughts with me. Share just everything. And once your thinking is renewed and you can forget about the things of the world, you can actually see me and start to believe in my word and see my amazing love for you. See, it's amazing. This relationship that we have with God is awesome. But sometimes we allow things of the world and we allow just our own worries and fears and shortcomings to consume us instead of just saying, Lord, you've bought freedom for me. But you, beloved, Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. There's a gift that God has given us. If you can't pray in the Spirit, if you can't pray in tongues, then I want to give you an opportunity at the end here. Let's pray for you and let's trust God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, that you can pray in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith. Because that, for me, that has kept me sane at times, where things have just gone all haywire and my mind is going crazy and I just start to quieten down and say, and then I just start to speak in tongues and pray in tongues and say, Lord, I don't know what to pray now, but I'm praying perfectly to you. I'm praying in the Spirit, building up my most holy faith. Each and every one of us can build up our most holy faith when we pray in the Spirit. And what does it also do? It actually keeps us in the love of God. It reminds us again God's goodness towards us, God's love towards us, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It keeps us sane that we know we're going to reach eternal life. It's going to be okay. But pray in the Spirit. You see, that's then our passionate partnership really becomes alive when we realize that we can have this gift of speaking to God, speaking mysteries through the Holy Spirit. So what I want to encourage you with is spend time with God. Get to know Him. That's how your faith is going to grow. Get to know Him. And then, as Dion said, start to step out and exercise that faith. It doesn't help just to live a life of knowing. It's a life of doing as well. And that brings me to my next point. Matthew 6, verse 19. The third one I want to focus here on. Remember, I've focused firstly on thought, our thought life, renewing our minds. Then secondly, is basically our prayer life, living a relationship with God, being in a living relationship with God. And then thirdly, remember, this is all about laying down worries, laying down the things that consume us, and all about our priorities. The third priority is our finances. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to say that again. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Not the other way around. Not, I'll put my heart somewhere and then my treasure will follow. My treasure must be there, and there my heart will follow. So how many of you guys have invested in the last few years, just like in property or shares or whatever? Just put up your hands. I mean, I have. How many of you guys have invested? Okay, and you'll know that investment in the last few years has pretty much lost maybe value, unless you've really been a clever and a wise investor. But the thing of this world is that it'll go up and down. Your investment value will go down, it'll go up. there'll be a lot of sort of turmoil, a lot of ups and downs, and maybe even stress. But the God says here is, don't invest in the things of this earth. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, please, be a good steward and invest. Find out what is a good investment and do it. Remember the parable of the 10 and 5 and 2 talents? Make that talent grow. Make what you have grow. Do invest. But remember the world system. And then remember also there's a system in heaven that will never go down. The value will always increase. Investing in heaven, you will grow and grow, and your value will just end up in eternity. The value is actually eternal. It can't be measured. So investing in heaven, putting your treasure, and it means putting your heart there. But you see, God uses money, and that's why I want to talk about this morning, is because it's something that I'm really passionate about. But God uses money to test our hearts, because we can say a lot of things. We can say, yes, we're passionate about this, we're passionate about that. But ask someone to just put their money where their mouth is, and then the test comes. Then your big test is going to be, oh, is your heart really there? Because there, when you put your treasure there, your heart will be there. You see, so it's a big test. Listen to this. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Proverbs 3. And with the first fruits of all your increase. And that means the best. Those first fruits talk about honor the Lord with your best. Don't just give the Lord your tenth sort of at the end of your income. It's just a principle, yeah. But say, Lord, the first bit of my income, as soon as it comes in, Lord, that's the first thing that must go off. Not all my other debt and all that stuff. Obviously, if you're in debt, you must get out of debt and make a plan. But it's a principle here to say, Lord, the best of my increase, I want to give it to you. If you need to get out of debt, get a debt counselor and make sure you get out of debt so that you can start giving your best. Because your best is maybe actually still going to paying off all the stuff that you maybe still owe. And I'm not trying to condemn you here, because we speak to Michal and myself and whoever. We've got people in church if you are in debt, just to be a wise steward of your money. But what I'm saying is give the first fruit, make a commitment. It doesn't have to be a tenth. Grow to the point where you can give a tenth. But just say, Lord, I'm committing a principle here to give you my first fruits, to give you my absolute best. And that'll represent your heart, because when you give your finances, you'll start saying, Lord, my time, I want to give my time to the church and to the kingdom and to seeing people's lives change. I want to give my time and just give my effort and have time for people and not only myself. You see, what is amazing, God has made a way here, people. God has made a way for us to be free from the love of money, and it's exactly this thing. You don't have to pray long prayers, you don't have to wrestle with God. Just give, and you'll be set free from the love of money. Just start to give and grow in it. All of these things I've been preaching about this morning, we can grow in. We can grow in our thought life, in our prayer life, and in our giving. We need to grow in it. But it's time for us to really start saying, Lord, the first fruits, the best I want to give. And look what happens. Look at the promise here. Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. You will have the best. You will have even more than you gave. Sowing and reaping. You will reap much more than you sow. Your vats will overflow. Your house will be blessed. And I just can testify. I can skin it a bit about my wife because she's not here now. She probably killed me for this. But since I married her, she works for Flight Center. She's a travel consultant and she earns commission. Okay. And we both just challenged each other a bit about really this giving thing. And I said to her, we must just continue to give. Doesn't matter what our situation looks like, we must grow in our giving. So we must really trust the Lord that we grow in this area of our giving. But since we've been married, and since she'd been working, she was working for Flight Center for about a year before we got married, year and a half. But since we got married, and since we made that commitment to really just give, God has so blessed her in her work. And she's earning, like, you know, when you earn commission, that's where you really trust God every month. Because you don't know, you've got this basic salary, but your basic salary is not really enough to actually get by. So you have to trust God for business and really for clients to come in. And she, in Stellenbosch, she was like amazed because she said she didn't know what she was doing differently to the other consultants. But she was just always being almost the top five most of the time. And at the end, she was always the top consultant just before we left. And that's amazing how God blesses one before you have to go. But she was almost like, no, I'm doing so well now. Why do we have to go? But I said, it's better that we go on a high note. But the fact is, God was starting to bless her abundantly. And she was the top consultant. She was the commission was just like God was blessing us there with finances, just practically. And it was just the principle of the fact that we just decided to keep giving and not to, when the times were tough and maybe, you know, she didn't earn a lot of commission, we're not going to just then say, oh, we'll just cut on our tithes now. We'll give even more. We'll say, God, next month, we know you've got business clients, big clients for her. And that's amazing. She was blessed with so much stuff. And this year, now she comes here, works in the Brooklyn Mall, just goes even more to the next level of glory. Not hardly having clients, working from 9 till 3 or 8 till 3, not doing a full day's work like all the other people. But God just blessing her and blessing our faithfulness. And I believe it's obviously us together. I believe we won. So it's not just her faithfulness. It's my faithfulness over the years of just saying, Lord, I want to give into your kingdom. I want to trust you for abundance. God blessed me in that way as well. But it's just, it's awesome how God works. And when he says that our barns will be filled with plenty, he really means it. Because our house is blessed. Yeah, we've been blessed with an amazing son. And just I can just sense our house is blessed. And I'm not standing here. This is all God. It's truly not me. I've just said, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. And even if you don't bless me, Lord, I still love you. I don't mind. But I just see God's blessing. And now he's just saying to us, will you give even more? Will you grow in your giving? Or will you just stay? And now you're starting to accumulate wealth. And, you know, but will you give beyond what, or even more now that I've blessed you so much? And that's the challenge for all of us. See, healthy giving makes us more like Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate giver, giving himself, giving everything. It says here in Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So I really want to encourage you, and I don't want to put condemnation on people. If you're not giving, that's fine, but grow, make a commitment. And we say that at the Foundation 2, at the community seminar on the stewardship. We say, grow to a point of giving. You're not under the law anymore. The tithe mustn't be a legal thing in your life. But it's so important that you commit to that tithe because it sets you free. And there's a lot of funny doctrine out there about, no, man, we don't have to give a tithe anymore. We're not under the law and all this. And, you know, people think they mustn't give a tithe. And that's just wrong because I saw it in a church that I was in PE, in Port Elizabeth. I went to work for Volkswagen for a while. And this one guy, and we were in a cell group, and he had an issue. He said, these churches that always talk about money and this. He had a major issue with this. A really anointed guy, blessed guy, spirit-filled, on fire for the Lord, but he had this problem with tithing. He said, I think we're free from the law. I don't believe we have to give anymore. And he probably stopped giving. And when I left P, I heard a year later, his marriage was, they'd been divorced, there was just problems, and his life was just going off the rails. And I just was so sad because I realized this thing in his life is not sorted out. He didn't realize that it's not about giving 10%. It's about setting you free from the love of money, setting you free from the things of the world. And this guy had everything. He had cars, motorbikes. He was living the life. But you see, that's the thing in his life that consumed him. And in the end, it consumed his marriage. And I don't know where he is today, but I pray God will bring him back and make him repent of his hardened heart towards just giving. And here in Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. Another part of our investing, and I really want to thank you guys for opening your hearts to the Kibwe people. It's just so amazing, the response, and that's what I love about this church. I know our church is healthy because as soon as we just say there's a plea of the poor, and we're just obedient to Proverbs 19:17, we're having pity on them, with their finances needed. And you guys that gave to Kibwe, I just want to thank you so much. Because there was just abundance coming in. And God's blessed. You heard the testimony about the businesses that have opened up their hearts again and are continuing to support Kibwe. But we've got abundance now. God just tested our hearts. And he said, is your heart where the poor is? Because sometimes we can just get focused on the business people or the students, and that's great. But what about the poor out there? God says, that's my heart. My heart is also with the poor people. So I really want to thank you guys and commend you for opening your hearts to give to the Kibwe people, because God is going to bless you. You will be blessed yourself. You will pay back what he has given, what you have given. He will pay back so much more. So I really want to thank you there and honor you guys. But you see, it's important for us to really say, are we investing on earth? Are we just building our little kingdoms here on earth? Or are we investing and freeing ourselves from the love of money on this earth? And at the same time, while we do that, this church will be changed. We'll have a capacity for more people. The poor will have food to eat. At the same time, when we become free of the love of money, then lives are changed. So God does an amazing thing. He's very good at leverage. He uses one thing to do two things. When we just give, it changes our lives and it changes the people around us. So isn't it amazing? Isn't it effective? God is such a man of effective. He's an effective person. He loves to, you know, use amazing, do miracles where it seems like there's a little, but he just does a lot with it because he's a miracle-working God. Amen. Lastly, the fourth thing I want to talk about here is what we've just done this week. And it was just so blessed to be able to go out there on Thursday night. I must say I was quite tired from the week running around, you know, the police station, and then I had a lot of admin to finish off this week. So I wasn't too involved during, you know, at the police station there during the week. But Thursday night, I just knew. I got a call from Lorraine in Joburg. Her cousin is here in this place called Extreme Freedom, a drug rehab center. And she said to me, please, why don't you guys, you know, I know Sean's got a passion for the druggies and stuff. Why don't you guys maybe just take a few cell groups and then visit them? I just thought, yo, okay, this is awesome. Community week, it can all be part of that. But yeah, I'm coming on Thursday, and I've made this commitment to go to these guys, and I'm feeling like tired now. I'm just wondering, yeah, God, you just do something, because I've got to preach on Sunday. There's Philip's nice party on Saturday afternoon. There's the school year on Saturday morning. I'm only going to really have a bit of Friday to prepare and stuff. And it was just a hectic week. And I'm here on Thursday night, and I'm tired. Wednesday night, I was like just also bushed after we went to the police station there and handed out nice hot dogs there to the people. And I just thought, yo, it just seems like there's something happening every night. But I just said, God, I don't know what you're going to do tonight. I just said, Sean, please just prepare something, because I haven't got time to prepare like a message or anything. Because the guy said from 7 to 9, they're having class. We've got free reign to do whatever we want that night. I just said, Lord, we're going. And I emailed a couple of people, and thanks to you guys that went. It was so blessed. We had about 15 people, 12, 15 people there, facilitators. And then I got there, and I just saw this amazing sky. The sunset just before 7 o'clock. We started praying just before the class started. Just this amazing picture that God painted for us and just for those people there. And God was so faithful that night, you see. Just when we stepped out, when we served, and we said, Lord, I just said, Lord, this is not about me. You do what you want to do. I'm stepping out on the water now. I don't know what you're going to do here tonight. I don't know how these people kind of really hardcore. Or I know they were sort of being discipled already, so I guess they hadn't just arrived there. But still, I just said, Lord, use Sean and use us as facilitators. And what happened was Sean shared his testimony. Well, I just started sharing something about who we are. Sean shared his testimony, and then we broke up into small groups and just prayed for the guys. And God was so faithful to give the people in my small group. He was just so faithful to confirm words in their lives, to really just bless them. And they were encouraged. And the one guy, in fact, he's got such a heart for worship. And it was just amazing to see how he had fallen. He was in a band, and he had just fallen into drugs and stuff. And he was just ready to lay it aside and say, Lord, I'm going for you again. I'm going full out for you. But it was just, the people were so encouraged by us just being there. And it was just a testimony of the fact that sometimes we can't always plan the things that God wants to do, but we must just go and say, Lord, we're serving. We are living a life where we can serve. But now, in Romans 7 verse 6, we have been delivered from the law. This is so awesome. Listen to this. Having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We should serve in the newness of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to encourage some of us. Maybe you felt forced to serve in your life before. Maybe you feel like serving is just, yo, the church asks us to do things again, and yo, it's just works, works, works. And God says, no, He set us free that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, where the Spirit empowers you. And maybe you're tired. Maybe you don't want to be on sound duty or on setup duty. Or maybe you just don't feel like serving anymore. And God says, but just live by the Spirit. Just lay down the flesh that wants to do other things and say, Lord, renewed me. You've given me the newness of the Spirit and not the law. Not the oldness of the law where we have to do these things to earn our way to God. And I really want to encourage some of you, if you're still serving because you feel like you want to do something for God, then stop, take a break and say, Lord, my thoughts are wrong. I need to renew my thoughts. I need to spend time with you. But I can't do this out of works. I can't do this out of the old letter anymore. And out of condemnation and out of sort of a guilt feeling. Now, I had a friend in Stellenbosch, was still one of my best friends today, and he was, remember when we stayed together in a flat, he was so struggling with this thing. He was doing everything in church, like, and he got so tired after a while. He was just so burnt out, and I could see everything he did was out of a, what happens if I miss it? You know, what happens if I miss God? I need to be at this F3 meeting. I need to be at this prayer meeting. I need to be at all these things. What happens if, because maybe I miss God, and maybe I'm not helping to change lives. And he had this guilty feeling on him. And I just said to him, Billy, just stop. Just don't do this. You know, don't, just stop everything. And first just, find yourself in the Lord. But realize this scripture, we can serve in the newness of the Spirit. It happens like this. When we're filled with the Spirit and we're excited for the Lord, we start to serve. And we know our boundaries. We know when to say no. We don't have to just run to everything. But you see, it's because of the law. The law keeps us into saying, you must do. You've sinned this week, so now you must do a whole lot of things next week to make up for the sin that you've done last week or whatever. And that's we're not in the oldness of the letter anymore. We're in the fullness of life. So let's serve out of abundance. And I just want to, yes, Damien's passion yesterday, and where's Henny? Is Henny Esau? Henny Vaderman. Yes, the guys that were working here, we put these green poles there just outside the parking area on that side, just right next to the field, near to the kiosk there. The poles were all skew, and the headmaster just said, this is like quite a tough job for you guys, but if you want to do it, you can do it. And I just seeing these guys' passion. Henny was sort of, he's been in construction, and so I just said to him, Henny, you take control of you know, making sure these poles are nice and neatly spaced and straight, because we have to do a good job here because it will look good. But if we don't do a good job, it will look even worse than the previous job. So let's just make sure we do a good job. And God was just there, you know, anointing the work of our hands. And the guy's passion, I just want to just commend the guys. I think there's some red faces here, Heinrich, and where's Ruby? I don't know if Ruby's here, but some of the red faces in the sun, you guys must put sunblock on next time. But just the passion of the people to just make a difference at this place. And it was just amazing to see how serving is a joy when we realize we're not serving out of the law anymore. We're serving in the newness of the Spirit. And yeah, in Galatians 5:13, God, the word again, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Paul writing to the Galatian believers here, and he's saying, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. And sometimes we need to walk away from our flesh and say, I just need to get out here because I'm so consumed by my thoughts and stuff. Where's an opportunity for me to just serve that I can focus away from myself? And it's not a trying to do works. It's just saying, Lord, I've been called to live as a servant. So I'm focused here on myself. I just want to get out and just do something. And it changes your life. When you realize that we've been called to serve one another through love, especially the believers. And that's part of our inheritance. So what I want to say is, don't miss out on this inheritance that we have to serve. And that's why next year we want to, you know, we've realized as a show for family, and that's why, you know, we've been going through this, the last bit of this year, we have had to cut a few staff members down. We've realized that we've got so many people on staff running the church. But what we're actually doing is we not allowing you guys as a congregation to actually run the church and to serve. We need to give back the church. And that's what Fred and Lucille have said all along, is we want to give back the church to the people. Because if I'm doing something that you guys or someone else should be doing, then I'm preventing you from serving. Because it's all very well me being in the ministry and, yeah, it's great to serve and to preach and do all these things. But what about you guys? What about you guys must have the blessing of serving? You guys must have the blessing of doing, of running the church and letting things happen. So we don't need, like, at HQ, Stellenbosch Church, I think they've had to let 6 people go or whatever. But because there's such a big staff there, and maybe the staff are doing all the work. But you guys, or us as, I mean, I'm also part of the congregation, but I happen to be full-time, so I can talk about you and us. But you guys, as the people who are not on staff, must run the church because there's such a blessing. There's such a blessing in serving and in getting involved. And that's why thanks, like, Johan and the PowerPoint people and the sound people, set up guys, the catering people, I can carry on, hospitality. Or we're going to have more teams next year, even more people to serve, because it's a joy. When you say, Lord, I'm coming to the house of the Lord, not just to receive for myself, but to give. And same with finances, it's so much more blessed to give than to receive. And that's what I realized this week again. Just to, you know, it doesn't matter how tired you are, how hot the sun is, we're going to finish the job because it's just so much more blessed. And yeah, the headmaster's like feeling almost uncomfortable, he owes us something. I said, no, we've actually been more blessed than you. We've been more blessed than you to serve you. Whether it's the police station or there at Extreme Freedom, we have been blessed more than you guys. And it's almost like you feel kind of guilty. Shucks, we came to bless these people. No, God says, I'll bless you. When you serve and you step out and you live a life of a servant, God is going to bless you. The message says, yeah, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. It's amazing. Our freedom grows, and the more we come serve, the more we become free in Christ. The more we become free to love other people, just as Jesus did. Colossians 3:24. And whatever you do, say this after me, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So I want to say this morning, whatever you do, whether it's in a management position, whether you're an engineer that's just started working, whether you're an accountant, at the top of the chain or at the bottom of the food chain, whatever you do, you could be the biggest CEO, but do it unto the Lord. Serve the Lord, which means you must serve people. So whether you're the biggest manager and the biggest CEO with thousands of people under you, are you serving those people or are you ruling over them? Are you just sort of wanting them to do a task? Or are you serving them and making their environment the best? Because some of us will become employers one day. We'll have our own businesses or even big managers and CEOs. But are you going to serve the people, or are you just going to be in this position for your own status and for your, you know, that you can just receive and grow your kingdom? Or are you going to be there to serve? So whatever you do, I remember when I started working, I just decided, I'm going to just make coffee for the people here in my company. When I go make myself a cup of coffee, I'm going to say to 2 or 3 people next to me, can I just also make you a cup of coffee? And some people find it difficult to receive. You know, they can't believe, you know, why do you want to make me a cup of coffee? but just to start to bless and serve the people in your company. So whether it's in your class, just look for opportunities to, in break times or whatever, just to serve people. But focus. Focus on your work. Focus on what you've been called to do. But when you get an opportunity, say, Lord, I want to serve these people. Whether you're a big leader and a manager one day, or whether you're just even starting out, serve the people above you even. Serve, make a difference. Just like we did here this week. Just serving, serving, serving. It changes people's lives. You see, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of inheritance. For ultimately, who are we serving? You're serving Jesus Christ. You're not serving the boss or the headmaster or the dean or your parents. You're not serving them. You're serving Jesus Christ. So when we do things, whatever you do every day, and it's a challenge for me as well. Are we just focusing on our own things here and where we're going, and are we changing the world? Are we saying, Lord, are we going to serve people and love people? Because that opens up our hearts to really see God move in our lives. So what I want to say to you is whatever life you're going to live, whatever life you're busy living, whatever, wherever you're going, whether you're leaving Victoria at the end of the year, whether you're staying in your same position, make a shift in this time. Decide to live as a servant. Decide to live as a worshiper. Because listen to this, my last scripture this morning in Revelation 22 verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So we might as well get used to serving people. Because we're going to be serving, and serving equals worship. So don't think that worship is just what happens here on a Sunday. Band is great and our worship teams are awesome. And it's great to worship God and we experience him. But this is not ultimately worship. Worship is when we're serving God and serving people out there. That's what worship is. So some translations say, his servants shall worship him. But we are going to serve God. So we might as well get used to worshiping God and serving him practically by stepping out in faith. By really saying, Lord, we know one day we're going to be serving you in an amazing way, and then we'll be perfect. We won't have issues and all that. We'll be perfect. So we'll serve with perfect joy, and we'll be loving it. But for now, even with our shortcomings, Lord, we want to start practicing and saying, we want to get excited for heaven, because this is what it's going to be like. It's just, we're not going to have our own issues. But now, when we've got our issues, Jesus, you've come to set us free. You've come to set us free from our thoughts, our bad thought life, our focus on the wrong things. You've come to set us free from, you know, just focusing on ourselves and not on spending time with you and your goodness, on maybe giving. Maybe we're just lacking a bit in our giving, but Jesus, you've made a way for us. You've set us free. And you've set us free, as Romans and Galatians have said, we're free to serve in the fullness of the Spirit. We're free to serve with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that's what I want to challenge you all with, and myself included, is to live as a servant of God is the ultimate. That is the ultimate fulfillment. That will fulfill us. When we start serving and giving, and when we commune and have a passionate partnership with the Lord, and when we renew our thinking, and we start thinking biblically and thinking kingdom stuff, then that's the ultimate fulfillment. Then all these worries and all this lack of faith will just flee away from us. We won't start focusing on the clothes we wear and the food we eat in the figurative sense. We won't focus on that inner fulfillment or the outer success that we want to achieve. We'll focus just on allowing God to make us a blessing, allowing God to bless others, and that is the ultimate fulfillment. I've just experienced it in my life. I mean, I'm only 34 years old. I've still got a way to live. But in these few years that I've known the Lord, I've just realized that this is the ultimate, is to just say, Lord, use me. It's not about where am I in the career corporate ladder, or where am I even in the ministry. I'll just say, Lord, use me to serve. Use me to love people. Use me to give, to lay down my own desires, my own selfishness. And then you start getting fulfillment. Then you truly are seeking first the kingdom. Then you don't have to worry about what you put on or what you eat or what you drink. But for now, Jesus has come. And we're still going to have worries. We're still going to have but let's let the worry become less and our faith become more. Let's let our lives mean more and our own issues mean much less. Because yeah, he says, oh, you of little faith, why do you worry? Which means there's so much fear in you. Yes, you've got a little bit of faith, but there's more fear and more worry and stress in your life than faith. So let this faith grow. But start to step out, as Dion said. It's so amazing how God confirms the word. Just how we need to step out and say, Lord, I want to give more. I want to spend time with you. And it's not about doing works, but it's about priorities. It's about prioritizing certain things in our lives. Because if we don't make a choice to do it, life will just carry on. Life will consume us. But it's time to prioritize for the kingdom. Let's all stand this morning as the band comes up. Father, we just bless you for your word this morning, Lord. Father, thank you that you're so good to us, Lord. You love us so much. Thank you for the sun that's shining out there, Lord, the beautiful day. But Lord, we just want to focus on you right now, Lord. We want to thank you that you've spoken clearly to each one of us, Lord, and including myself. God, I'm so challenged again about priorities and what we're really living for, God, because the world is waiting, Lord. The world is waiting for the sons and the daughters to be revealed, Lord. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Thank you that you, Lord, have given us an opportunity again to respond to you this morning, Lord, and to, Lord, make right the things that we have failed not only to do, but just allow. Lord, we've allowed things to consume our thought life, to steal our prayer life from us, Lord. We've allowed the things of the world to come and consume us, Lord. And we thank you for the end of a good year, Lord. Even though some of us may be tired, Lord, we thank you that we can come and renew our strength again and be refreshed, Lord. Thank you for the hard work that was done this week and just for your amazing saints that were able to just lay down their lives. God, thank you for everyone who was working hard this week, who gave their everything, Lord, and maybe a week or two left at the company before the year closes, Lord. But we thank you that we can renew our strength, God, in you. We can fly on wings of eagles, Lord Jesus, because you've stood up, Lord. You've risen from the dead, God. And we just thank you for that. We thank you that you rose from the dead. You've made a way for us to be free. You've made a way for our thoughts to be renewed, Lord. Lord, that we can not be consumed by worrying about unnecessary things, Lord. That we can be consumed with thinking about your kingdom first, God, and putting you first, Lord. And Lord, having such a living and a passionate relationship with you, Lord, we can just open our hearts to you, Lord. And even right now, Lord, we open our hearts. We don't want to be religious this morning. We want to be honest with where we're at this morning, Lord. Even if it's in our giving, Lord, or if it's in our serving, God, we want to be honest, Lord. Maybe we're even serving out of fear that we'll miss you, God. But thank you that we can know you've called us to serve in the fullness of joy because your Spirit has been given to us, Lord. So we receive your Spirit right now, and thank you that you're speaking to everyone. Now I just want to give an opportunity. We're going to just worship the Lord again, just sing one more song. And I just really want to give an opportunity for anyone who just wants to respond this morning. Just come and stand here in the front, worship the Lord. Come stand here and worship Him and just allow God to wash over your life. I believe He wants to touch people here. I believe some people are frustrated. God showed me someone or two people are frustrated with certain things. You're serving God. You really got a passion for Him, but there's just frustration in your life. And you just need to just come and respond to the Lord's goodness, and He will touch you, and that frustration will leave. And maybe some of you are even worried about next year, or you just feel consumed about the things of the world. And God just says He wants to touch you. It's not about now just sort of giving more and trying to earn your salvation, but live in the salvation that God has given us. It's a process, and this is just part of it this morning. So just respond to God in whatever He's doing with you, whether it's finances, whether it's, if you want to make a commitment, maybe some of you need to just make a commitment for next year, or just for now, for this December time, just to really prioritize your quiet time, prioritize your reading of the Word, and your praying, and your fellowshipping with the Lord. Just enjoy, and don't try to strive. Just enjoy God's goodness in your life.